Brother Steve. And Willie June and I are going to be flying to Connecticut on Wednesday. We're going to go see our son Josh and Chelsea and the two little granddaughters. And we're pretty excited about that. But more exciting for you is that...
But we still miss our small group, and we miss worshiping with our family here, and we could go on and on, but we won't. We were here in July after we had our kids camp in Arizona. I think most everybody knows we were called to work with the Navajo people in Arizona, and we do a kids camp every year, and this is our 10th year of doing that. And we also have a Thanksgiving time ministry where we follow up with the children who came to our camp, and many of them go to boarding schools, and so they'll be home for the summer, and then they'll be home for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we follow up with some, like a toy and coat and some items that show love, and much of which comes from Pioneer Bible Church. So we plan and we pray, and we have a loose-knit calendar for the year. And then as we progress in prayer and support, we start making plans. And I really just want to update you, because so much of our prayer support and financial support comes from this hub here in Somerset. When we moved to Kentucky, I noticed right away that downtown Kentucky is surrounded by a freeway. And then they do it in a circular system back east a lot of times. And so we call it the four. And Highway 4 goes around our new circle, our city. And so it's pretty neat to think about going into town and the sphere of influence the downtown area has, all the services on, you know, as it expands. I just think about that with this church is the core of this area. This church is right next to the school, and it's a hub. It's like a fishbowl effect with the road going around it, and how wonderful it is to have the light of Christ shining from this area. Man, thank you, Lord, for that. This church goes out. You're in Mexico right now. I've mentioned before that you support Marcelo Gonzalez, and we, through Word Made Flesh, an associate group of people I'm affiliated with, we also work with Marcelo Gonzalez, and yeah, it's amazing. So it's small world in Bolivia, but it's pretty neat to know that all around the world, people know about Pioneer Bible Church, which is crazy. We started putting our December trip together to the Navajo people, praying about who would go with us. We don't know, and we all fly now. So we had a group fly from California. Three people from Calvary Chapel in Shingle Springs, and then three people, me, my daughter Grace, and another guy named Kyle Schrader, and came from Kentucky. And Kyle's our photographer and videographer, and he also has a big heart for the Navajo people. He's been all around the world throughout his lifetime serving in different capacities with mission organizations, so he's helping to develop our own mission to the Navajo. An update on our family. Grace, our oldest, has a degree in social work now. She just graduated, and she's in Alaska on the island of Sitka working with Native American kids there who have substance abuse issues. So we're thankful that she flew down to do our Arizona trip with us. We all meet up in In-N-Out Burger. It's a cheap thrill for missionaries who don't get In-N-Out in Kentucky. So our first stop is to, we all fly into Phoenix Airport and then have our first gathering at In-N-Out Burger in Phoenix. We also have a list. It's our prayer that we can provide a meal, a food basket and a needs basket for 20 families in the area. And just like Pioneer, we learned different things here. And so after we eat, we start shopping for food and other necessities for the Navajo folks. We went shopping that day. That was Friday after Thanksgiving. And we have a gem of a Navajo young woman, amazing, Rochelle. And she is a single mom, and she is putting herself through college. She was a welder. And excuse me. She's putting herself through college to become an electrical engineer. It's amazing. And so she has moved herself from deep on the reservation to Flagstaff, Arizona, and just an amazing woman of God who we are able to know. Cindy has a great mentoring relationship with Rochelle. And are Brian and Rosemary not here? Anyway, they also love Rochelle. Thank you. And so we kind of strategize with Rochelle. She gives us some insight into the community, where we're heading, the kids, who's there, who's not, who needs the food. Oh, this husband died, this widow's here. And it's just wonderful to have a relationship with her. After we met Rochelle and a good friend for dinner, we went to the hotel, and that's where our formation starts. And we start praying, like, Lord, we made it. You protected us to this point, and now let us be your hands and feet in this place. So we are thankful for the Lord guiding us every step of the way. We bought the food. We had enough to buy 20 food baskets for folks in Arizona, and they also get soap and other things that they need. We have a pretty standard list, and depending on how much support comes in, depends on how big the bottles of detergent are and how many pounds of potatoes we buy and things like that. Also, people have been making things all year. So there's several churches who are involved with this ministry, and some group made, I think we had 60 hats were knitted for the kids, and then bags that we put gifts in. And so it's really neat to have a mixture of purchased items and homemade items. We wrap all the gifts for the kids. We have blankets for the elders. A lot of this is, we're just trying to bless these items as they go out and to let these people know we love them and so does Jesus. There it is, more bags. After we assemble all the items, we have name tags. We have very specific things for very specific children. And then we have some items that we don't know where they will go. So we talked with the elders of the church, and we again talk about what we have. We don't want to be white Jesus there. We want the church to have the resources to bless those around them and to draw people to their church. So there are some people moving in and out of the area, and the church has resources, thanks to the people who give to us, to share with neighbors. One story we told you before was about a girl named Sydney. And Sydney, thank you very much. Sydney is in this picture on the left, and she's an orphan. She's an adopted girl, and her mother, her adopted mother was killed, and then her adopted father struggles with substance and abuse and emotional issues. Sydney is often alone. She was alone on Christmas Day, and she's in a trailer with her adopted dad, and so we have a special place in our heart for Sydney, and so does this family, the Padillas from Shingle Springs. So we are so thankful that we get to meet some of the most vulnerable people in this area and to understand Jesus more fully and his grace. Sydney has a cell phone now, so we're able to text her and talk with her. The Padillas keep in close contact with her. Some of the kids really want to see us, and we want to see them, so we'll take them the coat and wish them a Merry Christmas, and it's a great time. We go out and we pray with the elders. This is an older couple, and we're praying for things like sheep to be healthy and vision to be restored and trips to get water. These people have electricity, but they don't have running water. I'll talk a little about that later. We pray with them. And this is a new sheep that was just born, so we were able to go to the corral and celebrate that, the life. That means a lot to them. There's also turmoil. So this is the home of a lady who's great, and we have a good relationship with her, but she doesn't like the people in the church. So we just go to her and talk to her and give her a blanket and say, hey, we love you, and we're up at the church, and there's a bunch of good people there, and we'd love to see you walk in those doors someday. Her neighbor felt the same way for a while, and he had four kids, and we built relationships with them since day one. And but he, when we pull up to his house, he walks behind the house and won't look at us. So we get the kids, and we celebrate that. The first year, they didn't even give us a car seat. They gave us one of the kids and a bottle and some diapers, and we took them for the day. And now that kid's growing up, and we love them and have a great relationship. This year, His name is Kilroy, and he came walking into church with his four kids, and they all had brand new coats on and hats, and we thought, oh, thank you, Lord. Here he is. What an answer to prayer. It makes us cry sometimes. This is Joyce. She's had a series of strokes, and so Kyle, we have a woodworking program in our summer months, and Kyle made her a stool, and so we see little evidences of the work done, even though it's a little stool to get in and out of her truck. It's funny, Harley can't see, and Joyce can barely move, but she can see, so she can hop in the truck and scoot over and drive, and then he can do all the work, but he'll get out and load the groceries and stuff like that. It's amazing. We ask an elder if we can get anything. We're going to our hotel next to Walmart, and he just raised his foot. He can't really speak, and so he was asking for shoes. So we figured out what size shoe he wore, and we went to Walmart and bought him some new shoes. This is a home where the Navajo folks started to tear out the kitchen to give them a new kitchen, and then halfway through the project decided the house wasn't worth fixing. So now these folks have no kitchen. They never did have running water, but at least they had a sink and some places to do dishes. So we have been talking with them about the possibility of a building project for a house for them. That's the outside of their house. It's really about ready to fall down, and they just have no resources. I've been working with the chapter house president trying to get money and a house to be built, and the money just doesn't make it to the people who need it the most. So we'll pray about that together. And then that's the people who live in the house. Amazing. We are praying about what would be our first building project. We have had little projects in the area, but these folks are literally scared that their house will fall down on them. And so it's hard to walk away from a situation like that. So this is the first we've offered. Like, do you want us to look into it? And they said, let our people take care of us. And then this year, they were crying and saying, we need something. So if you will pray with us about that. God has us there for a reason, and we don't know what it is. We know that we want to glorify the Lord, and we want to advance his kingdom. So if part of that work is building a house for these folks, then let's do it. That's all I have for pictures. I don't know if anybody has questions about the ministry there. I'm going to move on. We always pray about how we can serve the Lord in Arizona. And God gave a vision to us through a dream on April 10th of 2010. And that would be a 10-year anniversary of April 10th, 2020. And so we don't want to just make a big deal out of numbers, but we also don't want to forget that God changed our lives 10 years ago, and we want to celebrate that. So we're thinking about a revival in the area in Arizona around April 10th, which happens to be Good Friday in 2020. And we have a pastor from Nigeria who has a heart for these folks, and they love him, and he's agreed to be our revival speaker. And we've been just learning about what it means to have a Holy Spirit revival, and how we've seen that in the Word, and how we've seen that in true situations, even in Wilmore, Kentucky. So if you'll write this down, if you have a pen, there was a Holy Spirit revival in Wilmore, Kentucky, which is where we live, in 1970. So that they're celebrating the 50th year of the Asbury College revival. And we're celebrating the 10th year of our ministry. And there's a group of people at Asbury College who would like to go to Arizona. And we want to not try to think about conjuring up the Holy Spirit of God, but we do want to present ourselves to the Lord in a biblical fashion, in a way of commitment to our Savior and to the Holy Spirit of God, and just say, we want more of you. And we intend to do that through prayer and fasting and spreading the word. And one, you'll find a video clip about this revival at Asbury in 1970, which is, it makes me weep. It's just amazing to know that the Holy Spirit still does work in magnificent ways. But they had a plan, and there were six praying, and those six went out and got six more each, and they prayed. And then it wasn't long at all before the Holy Spirit said, "Thank you, I'm on my way." And it was a week long, full on baptism of the Holy Spirit in this little community. So we know God does stuff like that, and we want to be part of that work. And so will you pray with us? We'll send out more communication and tell you dates. And we know this little hub in Somerset can be the spark for the fire of the Holy Spirit here and in Arizona and in Kentucky and around the world. So we're very thankful for that. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you mostly for your prayers and support with which we could, without that, we couldn't do any of this. So thank you. Yes, sir. Yes.
So I'd like you to tell us about you moved into your house.
You yeah. Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Kentucky real estate can be pretty cheap, and so we found a neat farmhouse some friends told us about, and we've renovated homes before. This is an 1890s sort of place, and we thought, oh, yeah, we'll keep it cheap, and, you know, before you know it, we were down to dirt floors and studs and nothing left of the original home except the foundation and some key walls, but we did finish it up. We're in it. We're thankful. We really wanted a place that reminded us of our little house down on the river, and that's exactly what God gave us. We have a house, and we renovated it, and we have a creek, and we have some property, and we're so thankful for that. We've already had one event there, and so we're looking forward. We have a room for missionaries who come to our area, which is very frequent, with the college and seminary near us, who need a place to stay. So we've have that in mind for an attic room, and it's been a real blessing. At this point, over a year later, I'm a little bit regretful. We went and saw Star Wars yesterday, and one of the people in our group said, "Well, I'll bet you wish you could get that 2.5 hours back." And I thought, well, I kind of thought it was good, but that's kind of how I feel about our house. I'm so grateful to God, and yet when I look through my pictures on my phone, and there's thousands, and the last year it's all house, 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 I think, man, I wish I could get that year back. So no regrets. I'm very thankful to God for it, but as we look forward to 2020, I really want those pictures to be about the Lord and about His kingdom and not about my doggone house. So we're very thankful, but that was a big deal in our life. Yes, absolutely. I'll share one quick thing. Speaking of 2020, I was going through my journal, my last entry, I was reading 1 Corinthians 3, and I'll just read a portion of that because I think it's a great thing to think about for next year. We think about the characters in the Bible being super appointed, kind of divine characters. And we have to remind ourselves that they were people just like us. So if we think we're not like Paul, we are like Paul. And if we think we're not like Timothy, we are like Timothy. It's God who's doing all the work. So 1 Corinthians 3, 5. I'll start with 4, 1 Corinthians 3, 4. "For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted," that's Paul, "Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." When we shared in July, we talked about Revelation 4 and 5, where we read about the kingdom of God and heaven and how God's in the center on the throne. Again, it's that whole idea that God is center, not us. And this reminds us that it's God who does the work. So that's looking forward into 2020, thinking about, Lord, am I a planter? Am I a waterer? What is my role in your kingdom today? I know that you alone do all the good work, but let us not set our sights so low that we don't have a vision like Paul did or like Apollos did. Let us know that God can do all things, and he wants us to be his hands and feet to do it. Amen. Thank you so much.
Would you just stay right here?
Good. God, we just we lift Bud and Cindy to you and their family. Thank you, Lord, for what he has shared. Thank you for what's happened in Bottaway. Thank you for what's happened in Wilmer. Thank you, Lord, for how you have guided their family. I think all of us that know them are grateful that they listened to you. Not that we don't miss them, but, Lord, we need to see each other take steps of faith. And, Lord, when we choose to trust you, you show up and you provide and you give direction. And, Lord, I thank you. I pray, even though I miss their family, I thank you, Lord, for what's happening. And may you get a hold of any of us, Lord, any of our families. Would you call us to serve you here in Somerset or in some other location, Lord, and help us to just be willing and ready to be that one who is sent. Guide us as we spend a few more minutes in the Word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. It's wonderful to see you, to have you here. You can take this little, I'll just sit it down. I want to talk for just a few. Did any of you guys ever lose your glasses? How many of you have worn glasses in your life? Did you ever lose them? And all the time? And when you lose your glasses, well, why do you need your glasses, Joyce?
Usually if I'm reading, I need them to read.
Because it's fuzzy otherwise? Yeah, I can't read. It helps you focus, right?
I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, I've put my glasses down, and then I thought, where did I put my glasses down, right? And then you go find the old pair of glasses that you had in your drawer, and you put those on to get by, and then finally you find your pair of glasses. Well, I just titled this simple message, Seeing 2020 in 2020. Okay? So the whole idea is being focused. And, you know, you find your glasses. Why do you need your glasses to be able to focus? The Word is our pair of glasses to be focused, the Word of God. If we don't have God's Word, and you may think, how important truly is the Bible? How important is the Bible to a Christian? It is. It is our lifeline. B-I-B-L-E. What did you guys tell me in Bible study?
Basic instructions before leaving earth.
That's it. You got it? B, basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible. We need to be able to have a clear focus. And the Bible is our guidebook and our we're unashamed of that. It has been at Pioneer Bible Church. It will be in 2020, the thing that keeps us focused. And I wanted to tie together a couple of things from last week and Christmas time. And so we have this idea of Jesus, the Word. And we know that Jesus, the Word, was before creation, right? So Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, existed before anything was created. And then it was through the second person of the Trinity that everything was created. So he was here before creation, and then he was here at creation, and we know that he is eternal and he will always be. Do you understand that? So that's talking about the second person, first, second, and third person. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all eternal. They're all sovereign. They're all forever. And in John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh, which means to come into the body. And so the second person of the Trinity became the Son of God on the Christ, Jesus, born of Mary and Joseph, Emmanuel. In fact, I love the fact that it's Matthew 1:23, chapter 1, verse 23, that is where it tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that is so key to our Christian faith. And then in John 1:17, it says, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so the truth, the grace of God came and became present to us in Jesus Christ. In John 8:32, it says, the truth will set you free. Now, there's a process of how you become free. Before you know Christ, you're bound. You're not free. Why? Because you've not been forgiven. And so it says, the truth shall make you free. By you surrendering and committing yourself to Christ, you now are forgiven, and you are made a child of God, and you are now free. In John 14:6, it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And these are very familiar verses to all of us. In John 6:7, and believers are called then to obey the truth. And so we have in this life as Christian people, our new Savior is Jesus. He's the Lord and he's the master. And our job is to do what the master says. And so we follow Christ. And this whole Christian life is us following Christ. And to be able to do that, we have to be filled with God, the Holy Spirit, which we are filled with when we're saved. How many of you call on God, the Holy Spirit, to help you walk every day? God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, guide me. And Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how he guides us and leads us, and we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit while we're living. In John 6:13, God the Holy Spirit guides believers into all truth. In fact, the Bible says that God the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he teaches us. And he teaches us what? He teaches us truth. He teaches us what Jesus, God the Son, taught here on this planet and what God the Father has given to the Son. There's always a very good consistency. There's a perfect consistency between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's never a variation between those three. They always are complete, consistent unity with each other. And then in John 17:17, the Bible says, your word, and that's talking now about the written word of God, your word is truth. Through it, believers are saved and sanctified and serving. They're surrendered, they're submitted, and any other S word you can come up with that helps to help us understand that. But we're saved and we're sanctified and serving. So we want to have clear focus for the days ahead as we move into 2020. Just a couple of verses about the Word of God. You know, in 1 Kings 18:21, you might remember this story. It says, Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? Can you see that? Okay. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, and the assumption is, if Baal is God, then follow him. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And there are opinions. There are opinions that are just completely, everywhere we turn, there are opinions about God and who God is and what God should be. You guys, there's only one place we can look for the description of who God is. Only one place. And that is in God's revealed word. That's it. In James 4, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And what we know is to be double-minded is confusion. And so find the truth in God's word about God, about everything about God. Find it in God's word. If you listen, I don't know how to not do this, but if you listen just to yourself, you're not going to be hearing truth. You need to listen to God's word. We are quite clever. In fact, philosophers have come up with many philosophical ideas through the centuries. And those are thoughts that have come from other brainiac people. But if your philosophy is not built on the revealed word of God, the creator of the universe, your philosophy is wrong. We need to understand how to think by what how God describes himself, us, how we relate to him. It comes from him. Psalm 119, 113 says, and these are strong words. I actually thought about not putting these words in here. But David is writing and he says, I hate those who are double-minded. He says, but I love your law. God, you are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. So, I don't know if you have a strong opinion and a strong conviction about the Word of God. I hope you do. And I hope your roots are going deeper and deeper about the truth of God's Word and the accuracy of God's Word. I love saying everything God wanted us to know about Him is in this book. Now, you can learn other things in life. You know, Juliana took a pharmacology test recently. The Bible doesn't talk much about pharmacology, but everything the Bible speaks about is truth about God, about sin, about salvation, about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and on and on and on the subjects go. Okay? High reverence for the Word of God. Now, the world is pontificating. The world is just free to share their opinion, their wisdom, unrooted in God's Word. Now, in 1 Corinthians, this is what it says in relationship to that. Where is the wise? Talk about the wise person. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe that's so capable and able? Where are the disputers of this age? And are there people who dispute these truths? Everywhere. Where are the disputers? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. So in other words, through man's wisdom, you're not going to find God. Only through what God has said will we find him. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And you guys, the message that we preach is here. This is the message that we preach, the Word of God. And it says, through the message preached to save those who would believe. So there's the action step. The thing that God is saying to all of us is, will you believe me? Will you believe me and will you follow me? Verse 22 through 24, talk about what the Jews and the Gentiles are hungry for, right? What people are hungry for. And it says, the Jews want signs. Show us signs. Show us more signs. God, if you'll show us more signs, we'll believe. And you know what God said? He said, I have shown you a book full of signs. Look at the book. Read the book. That's where I've given you all the signs that you need. And so Paul is making a point. He says, the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And you think about all the Greek philosophers and the wise things that they have said. Now, I'm not making fun of the things that they've said, but if they think their wisdom is going to get them to God, they're what? They're wrong. That's not going to get them to God. They may be wise things about life, or they may be wise things about business, or wise things about how to think. But here's what God says. But we preach Christ crucified. And you know, it's a stumbling block to the Jewish people, and to the Greeks it seems like foolishness. But to those who are called, Are you called? Did God call you to believe and put your trust in him? To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. It is in the book, you guys. That's where we find, that's where we are rooted. That's where we find our strength. You know, God has given us this amazing revealed word of God. And it's in every bookstore. It is the most sold book in the world. And yet people, many people, totally neglect it. Totally reject it. Totally will not let it influence their life at all. They are angry at those who carry the Bible. They are repulsed by people who believe the Bible. And yet God's word is here. Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men ever could be. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, it's interesting. But I chose early on, I was hoping you'd talk about your house. That's why I asked about it. I was leading into my illustration, okay? Now here's how I want to use Bud's house. He said they took it down to the studs and the joists, right? Right down to the dirt, right, Bud? Now, if I was to go and become an expert on your house, simply from the few pictures I've seen and what the finished product that I've seen in your pictures. So I was to leave you now, and I was to go become the expert to speak about the house of Bud Dean. And so, first of all, I could never do it. The master, the creator, the one who's been in the house from the dirt up, knows everything about the house that can be known. Now, I can go over here and I can say, hey, Mark, let me tell you about Bud Dean's house. It is just amazing. And I just start talking about his amazing house, right? And I could look like I know all kinds of things, but I don't know the house. I'm not the creator of the house. Let me tell you what, the creator of the house has given us all this information about the house. And there are people going around and they are talking about God as if they're experts on God. People in the world, there are religious groups, there are people out there talking about how, oh, you can know God, just these are the important things. I'll tell you, you know the important things about God? You go back to the Maker's book. Don't listen to others. And I'm going to talk about this just for a minute because I think we need to be discerning. I'm going to skip the next two slides and go to where it says, subtly, some do not. It's like three slides up. Yeah, right here. Okay, I don't know if you can see that. I hope you can. I hope you can grasp this. I hope I can describe it enough to help you grasp it. Subtly, some do not regard the Bible as the final word of God. Some people don't believe it's the final word of God. These are some things that regularly happen out there, okay? Things to be careful of when you are considering something to be a word or a message or a direction from God. So here's the thing. In your life, you need a pair of glasses to focus carefully on what's reality about your walk with God. You need direction in your life, for your life. You need direction because something's happening in your life and you are confused or you're in pain and you don't know what to do. Look to God and His Word. Don't look to counterfeits. Don't look to people who go, oh, I can tell you all about that. Go back to the source. Go back to people who know the Word of God. Go back to people who diligently and seriously pray to the God of Scripture Ask them for prayer. Don't go to people who know half the information. Here's some examples, okay? Number one, beware when individuals or a group consider an experience they have had or a feeling or circumstances or a vision or a dream to be a word from God. Now, this is the issue. Placing their experience above the written word of God. Okay? Now, it's not that God doesn't give visions and dreams. We know he does. But every time he gives a vision and dream, it's going to be in consistency with his word. And there are people that look to experiences and they base their Christian faith on experiences alone and not how God has shown us in the word. Now, I just opened up a can of worms. But let me tell you, if a person says, live your life this way or change your life because I've just had this experience, boy, before you do anything, go to your knees and say, God, how does this line up with your word? Was it because I ate too much Captain Crunch last night that I had this dream? Or are you actually speaking to me? You know, I didn't mean to pick on you, bud, and I didn't think about this till now. But when God gave you the word Bottaway, what I loved was you came to our deacon's meeting and you said, guys, I don't know what God's speaking to me. And for months, he prayed and he sought God and he researched and he tested the word to see, God, what are you leading me toward? And I just think we have to be very careful. So that's the first thing. See, you're saved in Christ Jesus. That's a fact of Scripture if you've trusted Jesus. You are filled with the Holy Spirit of God if you have received Christ as Savior. God, the Holy Spirit, is living in you. You have the Word of God that you read often so that you're being taught about Scripture. And so you have these vital, significant parts of your walk with God that are guiding you. When experiences come, sometimes we look at the experience more than we look at the Word of God. Don't do that. The Bible tells us, test the spirits. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Okay, so I think maybe you get the basic idea. Let me go to number two. Number two, take caution and reject when religious individuals or groups outright deny the teachings of Scripture, and they deny historical creeds on non-negotiable scriptural truth. Now, there's a lot in that. But if people, and then the examples are, cults are people who claim to be Christian, but they deny the vital Christian doctrines. If you're talking to a person and they say, and we wonder sometimes, you know, I wonder if those people are Christians. I wonder if that religious group are Christians. And they say, I'm a Christian. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I believe in the Bible. Okay? Be a fruit inspector. My grandpa used to say, be a fruit inspector. Look at their life and look at the fruit of their life. What do they believe? And in this, I just gave three examples. If they claim to be Christians, yet they deny the deity of Christ. That's the first thing. Almost every religious group outside of the Orthodox Christian faith deny that Jesus is God in the flesh. That's why in the first part of this sermon, I said to you, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1:23. Because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's not just a prophet. He's just not a sage. He's just not a teacher of good moral character. Jesus, the virgin-born son of Mary and Joseph, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, God in the flesh. And when people say, I'm a Christian, and they deny that, you reject them. And I'm not saying be mean to them, but don't believe them. Don't let them teach you Bible studies. You teach them Bible studies. So they deny the deity of Christ, or they deny salvation by Christ alone. If they say it's Christ, but yeah, you got to do all these things, you say, no, the Bible says that if he who believes in me shall live. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, sons of God. Or they deny the triune God. And you say, what's that? That's the Trinity. You say, well, people say Trinity's not in the Bible. The word Trinity's not. But the way the Bible describes God is it describes God as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says we serve one God, and he is described in those ways. We have God the Father, we have God the Son that we've just talked about, who is incarnate, and then we have, when Jesus left, he said, I will send you another comforter, and he will come, and he will be with you, and he will teach you what I have said. That is God the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So those are two things. Be careful of experiences. Always test experiences by the Word of God. Always be sure that they're consistent with the Word. And when you come to these folks who say they're Christians, if they deny the basic doctrines of the Bible, of God's revealed word, then you say, no, I don't agree with you. You know, and when it says treat them as an unbeliever, that's fine. You know what we do for unbelievers? We pray for them. And we befriend them. And we're kind to them. And we try to share Christ with them. Let's go to the next slide. There's two more things I want to say. So, things to be careful of again. And okay, number one on this page, take caution when individuals or a group reject the Bible's clear teaching, meaning, and application, and they replace it with group consensus. Okay, so what that means is a group of people get together and go, hey, let's read this passage of Scripture, and you know, it could mean this, this, or this. Let's take a vote. And, you know, three people say it means this, and two people say it means that. They go, okay, it means this. Hey, how about what God says? That's what we want to hear. We don't want to do it by group consensus. Let me just finish reading that. They replace it with group consensus or thought, then amending the Bible ideas to support present-day cultural morals, practices, or worldly thinking that violates the clear words of the Bible. There's this, it's called higher textual criticism. People that look at the Bible and they just decide it means something else. We need lots of examples that I can't give you right now. I can, but you want to go to lunch, and so will I. But here's the thing. God's word, I'm just going to give you a simple example. People say, well, yeah, but when you read the Bible, it can mean just anything. Have you heard that? Anybody can interpret whatever they want, right? Isn't that what people say? You guys, there are hardly any scriptures where that's true. It's always consistent with itself. And when people say, well, that scripture could mean anything, that's not true. Take the most common verse in Scripture. For God so loved the world. Now, let's just interpret that. Is that hard? What's it say? God loves the world. Okay, so we get that much down. That he gave his only begotten son. Is that hard to interpret? No, Jesus, he gave. Jesus came, born of the woman. He was going to be the Savior of the world. If you learn Scripture, you understand that. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, that hard to interpret? Whoever believes will not perish, that's easy, and have eternal life. How about this? In the beginning, is that hard to interpret? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I know I'm being silly, but people say all the time, well, you can just interpret the Bible any way you want. They'll say, well, that's your interpretation. Well, you know what? That's what the Bible says. It just says it. And I know I'm being silly, but these are the ways that people distort the Bible or get into arguments about religious things. And we just need to be simple and precise and just simply open the book and read it and believe what it says. I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys, but these are really big deals. If you take any time to talk to a neighbor or talk to a coworker or talk to people that don't believe, these are the kind of things that they're saying. Last one, number two on this page. Beware when individuals or groups twist Scripture. They take verses out of context. They extrapolate or conjure up some thoughts, unorthodox meanings from verses to support a heretical view or practice. And then, like Mark said, you know, always test the prophets. Always compare Scripture with Scripture. So we have to be careful when people just take a verse and they take it out of context and then they try to build a religious doctrine on that. The beautiful thing is if you read John chapter 1 or John chapter 2 or John chapter 3, there's a context. There's a story that the author is telling. Just read it within the context, and then when you take that verse out, you know, it's interesting because John 3:16 is in a context. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:15 says, and I can't quote it exactly, but it's, you know, it's looking back to the Old Testament and it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, there's not hard to interpret that. Moses lifted up his staff and he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So the Son of Man, Christ, must be lifted up. Okay? So that's the context coming into John 3:16 because Jesus is going to be lifted up on the cross and he's going to die on the cross. And everyone who looks to him will be what? Saved. That's what happened with Moses and the snake in the wilderness and the snake on the post. Everybody who looked was saved. And then verse 17, the context is, for God did not send his Son into the world to do what? To condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, you guys, when people use these arguments with us and they say, well, you can just interpret that any way you want. If you just say to them, let's just stop and read this passage. The meaning is very clear. And so here's the deal. When I say, and I tell people often, I'm a Bible-only guy. I just believe the Bible. Now, I read other books about the Bible by people who I know revere the Bible to help me understand the Bible. But I'm a Bible-only person, and I am that because I absolutely believe that the Bible is the revealed Word of God. And I've got other slides that we don't have time for that talk about why I'm a Bible-only kind of guy, because there are so many evidences and conclusions that are drawn from solid evidence that show the authenticity of God's Word. Besides the fact that he's changed our lives and saved us. So as we look forward into 2020, 2020 and 2020. As we look forward to that, we're going to preach God's word. We're going to live God's word. We're going to love God by his word. We're going to love him because he is revealed in his word, and he has revealed himself to us, and he's drawn us and called us. And the message that we have is the message of Christ, and that's the message that saves people and turns people around. Can I mention the video you showed us this morning? So Hogan Fitzpatrick and Frankie Salisi are with Teen Challenge in Hawaii. And they're two boys that we have loved here at Pioneer Bible Church. And God has radically, drastically rescued and saved these two men, and they are now serving Christ. That's what God does. That's the hope that we have to offer other people. And it is the only hope that we have to offer other people. And that hope is based in the authority and the truth of the revealed Word of God. And I am so glad we have the Bible as our book, our guide, God's love letter to us. Man, we have a lot to live for, a lot to be thankful for. Worship team, would you guys come up and we'll finish up our service with a singing of worship and praise. Would you bow with me? Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have given us a clear standard from which we believe. I thank you, Lord, that, and we haven't always gotten it right, Lord, but we just keep studying and we keep looking to you, and we keep asking you, God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal to us the truth. Miraculously, the Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth that's in God's word. And Lord, in doing that, we're learning the words of the second person of the Trinity, Christ Jesus, and we're learning the words and the heart of the first person of the Trinity, the Father. And they are completely consistent with one another. Lord, I pray that as we, as your followers, go forward, that you would give us a passion for the Word of God, that you would give us a hunger for the Word of God. Some of us are readers more than others. Some of us have a hard time reading. Help us find ways, Lord, to interact with the Word of God more and more. Thank you for our home Bible studies. Thank you, Lord, for our Sunday school classes. Thank you for our Bible studies, our home groups. Thank you that the ladies have a wonderful, dynamic Bible study on Wednesdays. And just thank you, Lord, for many ways to interact with the Word of God. Lord, use us to your honor and glory. Thank you for the great message of the Bible, the preaching of the cross. Lord, use us to your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, keeping with the theme of New Year's resolutions, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus? How are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his gracious hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Rest each moment in the crucified. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you gone? Are they white as
Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.
test, 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 test.